who's in his home in Kent. Welcome to the Sunday Politics, Mr. Farage.
Thank
you. Now, you say you've now got to become a serious party. You're getting into the big time. So can we start? There'll be no repeat in the 2015 election of what you did in the 2010 election when you dismissed your manifesto as drivel and didn't bother to read it.
Well, we had somebody in charge of it then who didn't do a very professional job and managed to produce something that was allowed to go on our website that was 486 pages long. And no one read it. So, but look, UKIP's changed. It's changed enormously. We're working on policy. We were unveiling bits of policy at our conference in Doncaster, and we will get it right this time.
OK, well, let's look at this, because you will expect more scrutiny now. I mean, at the Doncaster conference you just mentioned, your economic spokesman, Patrick O'Flynn, he put the case for a higher rate of VAT on luxury goods. 48 hours later, you disowned it. That's not a serious way to decide policy, is it?
No. No. Well, that's actually wrong. What Patrick O'Flynn did do was to say that in our manifesto, we'd be clear and we'd say there should be no tax on the minimum wage, that we should increase the thresholds, because the idea that that policemen and staff nurses are paying 40% tax is ridiculous, and that threshold should be lifted up to £55,000. And right at the end, what he said was we should establish a commission to investigate, firstly, turnover taxes, and I'm thinking about, you know, big online companies and coffee houses, and secondly, to examine whether there was a case for having a luxury rate of VAT on goods. And I said, there's no need for us to investigate that because we do not want more tax complexity. So there's a very big difference between what was a policy statement and what was something to look at in the future.
But imagine what your reaction would have been if George Osborne had floated a policy on the first day of the Tory conference and David Cameron had disowned it 2 days later.
Oh, well, actually, what happens is every year George Osborne has a budget and we get about four U-turns in the space of the first week. No, let's be clear, it wasn't a policy that was floated. Patrick O'Flynn laid out some very clear ideas, good, simple ideas on tax. In fact, they were so good that it appeared that in his own way, the Prime Minister tried to ape some of them.
Well, let's look at some of these. Let's take your policy on green taxis. Your website says that UKIP would scrap all green taxis. But when I spoke to your deputy, Paul Nuttall, on the Daily Politics, he couldn't tell me what was meant by green taxis. So could you tell us which ones you'll scrap?
Yes, we're talking about the surcharges that we're all paying, the renewable obligation certificate, if you want to get very detailed about it. And that's what we're all paying. And we're doing it through our household bills. And we currently have, with our energy policy, a sort of modern-day version of the Corn Laws, really,
sure,
where everybody is paying currently a 10% surcharge, but it'll be 20% by 2020. And what does that money go to? It goes to subsidise things like wind energy to make rich landowners even richer.
But that's only one green tax. What about all the others?
Well, what about all the others? You know, get our energy spokesman on and do a detailed, in-depth piece on it.
Well,
we've
had your deputy.
Is the Climate Change Act.
We've had your deputy. We've now got you. And you can't tell us what the green taxes will be. You've simply given me one.
Okay.
There's a whole list of them.
The large... I've done the ROCs. Let's now do the Large Combustion Plant Directive. There's a very good example. There's a by-election about to be fought in Rochester and Strood. And on the Hoo Peninsula, there was, until last year, a very big coal-fired power station employing hundreds of local people, and that was closed down last year because of a Brussels directive. And we want to get rid of that.
Sure.
And the truth of it is, when you ask about energy policy, if you talk to any of the other parties, effectively, we gave up some years ago having our own energy policy. We're now doing what Brussels tells us to do, and we're facing a looming disaster where by the end of next year we'll be down to just 2% excess capacity within our system. It's yet another classic case of the Westminster class getting a really important policy plain wrong.
Okay. Now, you told Telegraph TV in April that the NHS should be run by businessmen. Is that UKIP policy?
I think there's a very strong argument that says, you know, how can it be that since 1997, when a commitment was made to put more money into the National Health Service at a time when we were spending far less on health than our neighbours in Europe. How can it be that since that time there has been a 48% growth in middle management within the National Health Service? How can it be that within the National Health Service, 51% of people that work for it do not have any clinical qualifications
whatsoever? Should it be run by a businessman?
And what I want to see, what we want to see, what I want to see is the taxpayer getting value for money and the end user getting improved rates with heart, strokes and cancer care, because at the moment we're falling behind our neighbours.
So should it be run by a businessman?
If it takes a businessman, yes, it should be. I really think it should be, because what the Labour Party did was actually to contract much of the National Health Service out to private capital. The PFI initiatives on hospitals being a very good example. The outsourcing, you know, of cleaning contracts and things like that. What we've done with the NHS, by proxy, we've privatised large parts of it to make, again, quite a lot of rich people richer. And I think we should have a National Health Service that runs itself, that doesn't outsource these services. And if a hard-nosed businessman, you know, can come into each hospital and make sure the thing runs more efficiently and we get more money spent on the end delivery, that surely would be a good thing.
All right. Now, you also told The Telegraph that NHS spending should not be ring-fenced. Is that UKIP policy?
Well, I mean, you know, we are going into a general election and we'll put out a manifesto. Mm. We have not published that manifesto yet.
But you said it would be ridiculous.
All I would say is this.
You said it would be ridiculous to protect the NHS from spending cuts. Is that your policy?
Well, again, you see, what are you cutting? Are you cutting middle management or are you cutting frontline services? And that's really the point, isn't it?
All right. Who would you rather have as Prime Minister, David Cameron or Ed Miliband?
Well, we've got Jean-Claude Juncker at the moment, and, you know, whether we're discussing energy, or whether we're discussing...